In the name of our blessed Redeemer, Jesus Christ, the Father and the Holy Spirit, amen. Just a few thoughts from the epistle for the day. This is the day of St. Barnabas, concerning whom we know very little really in detail. We know enough to celebrate God's work in choosing Barnabas. We do know that St. Paul had great regard for Barnabas, choosing him over John Mark, as you know, and that God used Barnabas very extensively as a missionary in those early tough days when Christianity was just getting a hold in the world. But I was struck in reading the epistle appointed for this day by two words in Galatians chapter 2, verse 13, even Barnabas. Certainly the issue in that, at that time is a very important one. And if you read Galatians, you can see that St. Paul is highly emotional. In the first chapter, he insists again and again on his great apostolic authority that he did not learn his Christian doctrine from any of the apostles or anyone else, but directly from Jesus Christ. And you can see the emotion that he had for his Galatians as they were being attacked by the Judaizers, perhaps, and others, that very early on the gospel was being covered up. In chapter 3, he begins, "Oh, foolish Galatians," or I think it's J.D. Phillips who translates, "Oh, you darling idiot, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh?" And here he very directly says, "I simply told Peter, you are wrong," because the issue was the trivialization of the gospel. And that has happened again and again, and you and I can do it in our ministry. We can say the word gospel, but when it comes down to it, very often we can simply get back to work righteousness. And you know how St. Paul argued about that again and again. Walter, in his proper distinction between law and gospel, recounts how Luther at one time had to write to Spalatin, who was very disturbed over the fact that he had agreed to let a man marry his wife's stepmother, and was deeply depressed over it. And there Luther very politely, as always, said, I gently invite you and admonish you to join us, great, real, high boiled sinners. And he pointed out that that was Spalatin's trouble. On the one hand, he couldn't receive the comfort of the gospel because he hadn't faced up to the fact that the gospel is meant for those who truly believe that they are sinners. But Walter recounts the letter that Spalatin wrote to Luther when he was depressed. And he said, "Look, your trouble is you want to be a painted sinner. And as a result, you want a painted Christ." And he goes on to point out again, you've got to face up to this. And this is what was happening. The issue was real and has remained real as we see what has happened to the church over the years. It was the issue at the time of the Reformation, that law must be law, and we must stand all condemned before God, and fear the powers of eternal damnation before the gospel can mean anything to us. Well, I think we can take today St. Barnabas as an example, as we can all of the great heroes of the early church, in fact, of the whole church. They were concerned that this message of salvation through the blood of Christ and the forgiveness of sins is what it was all about. Not mere morality, not merely changing your life a little bit. And yet there are two warnings that I think we can well heed today, even as we look at this word, whether it's also or even, it's Chi Barnabas, and most translators have made it even Barnabas, whom St. Paul thought so highly of. And as Barnabas, we can be carried away by the insincerity or the hypocrisy or the simple mistakes of others. And we can do this, even as we are preachers, by falling in love with reputation. You'll notice in this epistle then he refers to James and Cephas and John, who were refusing to be pillars. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. And many a pastor, many a preacher has fallen into this trap of following somebody because he has a name, because he is public, because he is a giant in the world of theology, without doing what St. Paul said. I don't care who said it. If it is not right, it simply isn't right. There I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that I have preached and that God has recorded in the pages of sacred writ. Let him be dead. Furthermore, we're not sure why Barnabas was carried away, kind of swept along with all of this, but we do know why Peter did it. Because he was a coward. And that is not something that is out of style either in our ministry. We are so dependent on our people for our living at times that we don't want to offend anybody. I recall one time reading a rather lengthy document that some pastor had concocted to allow his members to remain in the as nations and yet protect his reputation. They could say if they didn't wear the pins to church, and if they had a Masonic funeral, they were to do it on before he got there, and all kinds of standing on his head out of fear that we cannot preach the law and preach it firmly, and therefore have no gospel. Very often it is easier to tell people that they merely have to recognize that they are painted to me, and therefore need only a painted Christ. You can see what was happening. Peter had it all right. The Council of Jerusalem undoubtedly was being followed, and Peter therefore, as a lifelong Jew, broke his tradition, and he began to eat with Gentiles. But as soon as some of the Christians from Jerusalem came, he sneaked down to the other end of the picnic table. He was no longer going to eat with them. And this made St. Paul furious. And he particularly mourns the fact that even Barnabas, who knew better and who was of a stronger character, was simply carried away by this kind of thing. So popularity, either in favor of someone with a great name, a reputation, and popularity in the sense of fearing those who may criticize us, can lead us to be carried away. Secondly, it seems to me the issue is whether or not we are in danger of carrying people away. The position of a pastor is a very important one. I've often pointed out that we sort of have manufactured this, that every Sunday all over the world, people are doing what you're doing. They sit quietly, look at one man, he is dressed up, and they turn a spotlight on him, and we begin to feel as if we are the oracles of God. That's why Bible study, good exegesis, knowledge of the original languages are not something that we can do without. This is why that verse in Hebrews has always meant to me the essence of the ministry. Obey those who have the rule over you as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with pain, because that's unprofitable for you. This is the heavy burden of the ministry, and this is why Paul is so exercised that Peter, whom he simply said, Peter, you stand condemned, you are wrong, because you are making the gospel of little account and playing little games with people. And why Paul is so unhappy that even his good friend Barnabas was carried along by this. It is time, therefore, I think, for us to recognize again this morning and to think about it during this day, the importance of pure gospel. It's not bumper sticker religion which says, smile, God loves you, because that is not true. God, first of all, hates the sinner and the sin, condemns us. You know how good Paul was at spelling that out. But it is only the repentant sinner who has been ground into the dust by the law that the gospel has any influence in. Let us be reminded again to beware of seeking popularity, of getting our glory by deception from some great name. Let us remember the heavy responsibility we have to preach the only gospel that is effective. Indeed, even Barnabas, even you and I, that by the grace of God, we can be ministers of the word.